Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. Good evening, afternoon. I'm down here in Bristol, Tennessee. Amen. I'm down here preaching the gospel. I went to church today 2 times and holding up the bloodstained banner. And here's telling the good news that number one, Jesus Christ can save you. If you need to be saved, guess what? And Jesus Christ is coming again on this year, Holy Week. Amen. We are here. We're here to let you know that he is real, he is authentic, and he is genuine. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, rode through Jerusalem. Huh? Palm Sunday. This is what we're talking about. Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday where Christ was what? He was revealed to the city of Jerusalem, and to the whole world, riding on the coat of an ass and saying, blessed be the name that comes in the name of the Lord. Then they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, riding the coat of an ass. But the next time he comes back to planet Earth, he's coming back on a white horse. There you go. Coming back on a victory horse. First time he came, he ended up riding on the coat of an ass, showing that he was riding the beast of burden. And Jesus Christ took our burdens 2,000 years ago, took our sins, took our lies, took our backbiting, took our hypocritical lives that we live. And he said, I'm going to do something that has never been done in human history or in eternity. This is the first and last time when Jesus Christ was born, he come for one reason. He come to die. Die for the sins of the world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ, today is a good time to receive him. And you receive him by repenting of your sins and confessing with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead 2,000 years ago, and now he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for you and I. And he is coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back like a twinkling of an eye. And that will be when he comes back to rapture the church. When he comes to rapture the church, he will not touch earth. When Christ comes back to rapture the church, his feet will not touch earth. He will be suspended in the outskirts of heaven. And there he will call the dead in Christ, and he will call the living in Christ. And in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead shall rise from the grave, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. And that is soon and very soon. Sooner than I think he is, sooner than you think he is, he's coming back to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Well, a lot of people say, well, what kind of church he's going to come and get? The Baptist? No. The Presbyterian? No. The Catholic? No. He's coming back to get a blood-washed church. Only those that have been washed in the blood, repented of their sin, and confess the Lord Jesus Christ with their mouth and believe with their heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Yes, this is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, coming to you from Bristol, Tennessee. Amen. Going on down in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Block Talk Radio Chaos. Amen. Thank you for coming in and tuning in. Thank you for taking your time out of a busy day. This is a busy and this is exciting time that we're living in. It's so exciting because we realize that something is going on, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God's Son, was on earth and he rode through Jerusalem and they were shouting, they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But the second time he coming, he's not coming to save. He's coming to judge. He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. And by you being a good church member, I'm going to let you know this now, being a good church member or a good church goer or a good church singer does not mean that you're going to heaven. What means that you're going to heaven is that you have repented of your sins. You are sorry for your sins. You are broken up over your sins, that you have sinned against a holy God, a holy, holy, holy God, and he made preservations for you to receive Christ by his burial, by his suffering, by his death, by his resurrection. On the third day morning, he shed his blood on Calvary's cross for your soul, for your soul, for your spirit, for your mind, for everything you got except your body. He didn't die for your body. The body cannot be redeemed. The body has to be changed. And that would be changed at the moment of the twinkling of an eye. You see, you're still living in a carnal body. And in the body, there is sin. And since there's sin in the body, if the Lord will call you home now and you are saved, you could not get to heaven unless you have a changed body. You must have a glorified body, a glorified body, before you leave planet Earth. The only way you can attain a glorified body is that you must be born again of the Spirit of God in your life through Jesus Christ by receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes in your soul, in your spirit, he seals you. He seals you unto the day of redemption. Now you are fit for heaven. The only thing that has to be changed is your body, and Jesus Christ is going to change. His body was changed when he come up from the grave. He no longer had a blood system. He no longer had a heartbeat because he was a glorified body. He was a total spirit with a spiritual body, spiritual soul, redeemed man, paid the penalty for sin. He knew no sin, but he became a sin for us, and he paid it on the cross because when he died, that sin that the world has committed was nailed to the cross and in his body, and he cried out, "My God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because the pain of sin took hold of the body of Christ, and God, God had to turn his back on himself and say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken you?" And they put him in the grave, and he stayed in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And that's is the whole story for us to understand that during that time, he came back out of the grave and stayed on the earth for what? 40 days to prove himself, to manifest himself. And the 500 brothers saw him, and the disciples saw him. They knew that he had been resurrected from the dead. Doubting Thomas saw the nail prints in his hand, saw the whips on his back, saw every mark that man sin put up on the body of Christ. And he said, "My Lord, my God, this is the God of heaven. This is the glorified Christ. This is God manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. But now he's got a glorified body. He no longer has to pay anybody for sin because it's already been paid." And then he said, "If I go away, I will come again." And it's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been gone. And now it's at the time that he's coming back. Because in the last days, the Bible said in the last day, perilous times shall come. Difficult times will come. Difficult times will stalk the earth. From the east to the west, from the north to the south. And sin is stalking the earth. The devil is roaring like a lion. He is killing, he is murdering, he is raping, he's doing everything he can. He's turning people away from the cross. He's got people believing that you can get to heaven any kind of way. But there's only one way you can get to glory. There's only one way you can live with Christ. There's only one way you can be with Christ, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. He suffered and died 2,000 years ago, and now he's saving, and he's saving, and he's saving, and he will be saving. How long will that last? That will last to the end of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. The end of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, salvation will be complete. The end of the world will occur at the end of the 1,000 reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. That's why Jerusalem now is getting ready for the return of Christ. Jerusalem is the hot spot of the world. Jerusalem is in grave danger. Jerusalem is where God's people, the Jew, is regathering back into the land of Israel, because they know that their Messiah is coming. But one thing, the Jews is going to make a big mistake, and that mistake is they don't realize that this Messiah, this false Christ that's coming on the scene, this false Christ that's already on the earth, this false Christ that's going to try to claim the deity of Jesus Christ, the Jews are going to be deceived by this Antichrist. Listen to what I got to say. Before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth visibly, the Antichrist may come. He's got to come. And if the Antichrist got to come, that means if he's coming soon, he's not coming soon. He's already on the earth. The Antichrist is already on the earth. He is alive. He is waiting for the great event. And what is the great event? The great event is the rapture of the church. And just before the rapture of the church, there's many things that must transpire before the rapture of the church. Many things have been fulfilled. Many things have been fulfilled. Just before the rapture of the church. A lot of people say, well, what are some of the things that yet to be fulfilled? Well, in the book of Joel, in the book of Joel, amen, in the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, we read, in the book of Joel, second chapter, the 28th verse. Second chapter, the 28th verse reads, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaiden. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. From Mount Zion and to Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and it is the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Listen to what I'm saying. Joel said before Christ comes back, there's going to be signs in the moon and in the stars. There shall be signs underneath the earth and in the earth. And your young men shall see dreams, and your old men shall dream before that day come. And that day of the Lord is when Christ comes back to rapture the church. Just before the rapture of the church, there's going to be signs in the heavens. Don't you know, good God Almighty, don't you know, April to 8, 2024, there's going to be an eclipse of the sun. 8th of April, 2024, there's going to be an eclipse of the sun. The moon is going to come between the earth and the sun, and it's going to cause a great concern about the last day. It's going to be noticeable to the people who don't believe that we're living in the last days. And there's going to be volcanoes. There's going to be pillars of smoke before the great and notable day. This is one of the prophecies. And in the book of 2 Thessalonians, let's see what 2 Thessalonians has to say about the last days, the last days before the great God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appears on the earth. Like I said, before he comes to earth, he's going to rapture the church. Then after he raptures the church, then there's going to be a great 7-year tribulation, a 7-year tribulation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet said the 7th week that would be spoken by Daniel the prophet will take place. But at the same time, in the book of Thessalonians, we will read in the 2nd book of Thessalonians, we will read these words. These words will be read like this. Amen, amen. 2nd Thessalonians, we read the words of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said in the 2nd chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the 1st to the 4th verse. 2nd chapter of 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, 1st verse. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by words, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Don't you know before Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a great falling away. What the church is falling away from? People, the world, the nations of the world is falling away from the salvation of Jesus Christ. In other words, they're falling away from the cross. They're falling away from the blood of Jesus Christ. They're falling away from the death of Jesus Christ. They're falling away from the burial of Jesus Christ. They're falling away from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world is not concerned about what? About the death of Christ. They're not concerned about the death. They're not concerned about the cross. Apostle Paul said, preaching of the cross to those that perish is foolishness. And the world today believe that preaching of the cross is foolishness. But that foolishness, woo, that foolishness is for those that's going to perish, those that's going to die, end up in hell, those that reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. These are the people that's going to be falling away from. And the world today is falling away from what? The teachings of Jesus Christ. He said, I came to my own, and my own received me not. But as many received me, I will give them power to become the sons of God. Thank you, brother. I hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. I hear you in there. Mm-hmm. All right. And it says here, listen what it says. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, falling away first, that man of sin, that man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. The son of, what is the son of perdition? The son of perdition is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is on earth now, my friends. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm telling you the truth of God. I'm telling you everything that the scripture says. It shall be revealed, the son of perdition, the man of sin. This will be the Antichrist, and his name is not mentioned too much in the public today because he's holding behind the scene. Because when he come on the scene, on the face of the earth, it's going to be a surprise to the people on the planet because they've been looking for somebody to bring peace. Uh-oh, they've been looking for somebody to bring peace. Well, this man is going to bring peace artificial. It's going to be an artificial peace. It's going to be peace that the world will be able to accept because right now the whole world is in depravity. Our government is corrupt. Some parts of our churches are corrupt. We got the political world is corrupt. There's nothing right outside of the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, set apart from sin, guess what? You are corrupt. Because the only thing that can cleanse your soul, the only thing that can cleanse your mind, the only thing that can cleanse your spirit is the blood of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You cannot get to heaven, no, without the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot get to heaven without repenting. You cannot get to heaven by committing yourself, your soul, and your spirit to Jesus Christ. You got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to turn from your evil thinking. You got to quit trying to be so special to God when the whole world is special to God. You just can't have things, God. You a pet, because God don't have no pets. He says, whosoever will, let him come. My friends, we're living in the last day. We know we're living in the last day. In the fourth verse of that same verse, that same chapter, we read, says, who, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, what is the writer saying here? That's the Apostle Paul saying there's a time coming when the Antichrist will set in a temple built by the Jews. Listen to what I'm saying. Built by the Jews. And don't you know, 2024, don't you know the Jews is making preparation to rebuild the third temple? Think about it. They're getting ready to rebuild the third temple. And the Jews got to have a temple in order to go back, try to go back into Judaism, because the Jews don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died 2,000 years ago and that he's come. They don't believe that. But they believe that they got their own Christ coming. And this own Christ represents the Antichrist. Jesus Christ told the Jewish nation, he said, if I come in my Father's name, y'all will not receive me. But if somebody else, I don't care who it is, if somebody else come in their own name, they will receive. You will receive him. And the Antichrist is coming in his own name. Uh-oh, what is his name? I'll tell you his name. It's so vivid to me. It's so vivid to me in the Word of God, because there's one thing about me. I study the Word of God. I meditate on the Word of God. I go over the Word of God over and over again. Let God speak to me through the Word. And in order to find out this Antichrist, I'm going to give you a little information, and you can look it up for the rest of the evening. Guess what? If you go to the book of Daniel, you will find that Daniel talks about 10 horns, and then he talks about another horn. And he said this 11th horn had eyes like a man and spoke like a dragon. Well, that represents the Antichrist that will come out of the NATO European Common Market, and the European Common Market now is in progress. That's called NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It speaks of Daniel and the 10 toes, but the 10 toes was not enough. So Daniel had to switch from toes to horns, and he said, I saw 11 horns, and the 11th horn was the 11th country that came up out of the European Common Market. If you don't believe me, fall on your knees right now and seek the Lord. Fall on your knees right now and ask the Lord, is his word true? If you don't believe me, go to the World Botanical Encyclopedia, and that will tell you what NATO is. It will tell you the 11th horn is. It will tell you everything you want to know, because history is already pre-written through the scriptures. Everything that's going on today is biblically. Everything that's going on today is biblically. You cannot deny it. And what the world is doing, they're laughing at it. They're joking about it. They're saying there ain't no such thing as no Antichrist. No, it don't happen. There ain't no such thing as a dragon. But the Bible tells you Satan is a dragon, and he's eating up people like mad. He is swarming across this land. He is killing, murdering, raping. He is taking babies and making meat out of them. He's taking young girls and doing photographic pictures and porno, and he is using, and he's killing, and he's murdering. And what's going on? The Jews are talking to our society, and they're telling us we're getting ready to build a third temple. Two temples has already been destroyed, one by the Babylonians and one by the Romans. The Romans destroyed it in 70 A.D. When he destroyed it in 70 A.D., the Jews have not had a temple for 2,000 years. And they know that their Messiah is coming, but they don't believe that the one that has already came and died and rose again. They don't believe that one, but they believe the one. They're going to believe the one that's come in his own name. And he's going to, what did Apostle Paul say? Sit in the temple. So in order for the Antichrist to come, the temple got to be ready. And the Jews are getting it ready right now. They got the priests. They got the five red heifers. They're getting ready to offer sacrifices. And look out for this year, April the 8th, a total eclipse will streak across the United States of America. And it will tell a story like never before, because it represents war. It represents rebellion. It represents people turning against God. It represents that the temple is getting ready to be built. It represents the five red heifers that's going to be offered sacrifice. It's going to be a time like never before. And to tell me the church is sitting by going to sleep. They're having too much partying. They're having too many programs. They're not looking for the return of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot of saints of God going to be surprised, because their work is not going to be done. And I tell you right now, if you don't do nothing else, if you don't say nothing else, make sure your soul is right with God. Make sure your Holy Ghost is in you. Make sure you have repented of your sin. Make sure that the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed abroad in your heart. Because when this thing comes, it's going to come like a sledgehammer. And it's going to nail all this election, all these presidents trying to make things better. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get so bad until the whole families are going to turn on each other. It's going to get so bad that civil war is going to break out in America. It's going to get so bad that they tell me people are going to commit suicide more and more. Drug increases. Sexual activity will increase. Lesbianism will increase. Everything is going to go haywire. And I'm getting ready to give it over to the brother. But let me tell you what Jesus said. What Jesus said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, before the flood, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And when the flood came, everybody was caught off guard. Only eight people out of billions of people that was on the earth. And at that time, they were multiplying. And at that time, wicked angels were called watchers, began to cohabitate with the human race. And they began to bring in giants. And these giants were known as Nephilim. And these Nephilim were rude people. They were half human and half angelic. And they were multiplying up on the face of the earth. And then they tell me they became demons after they were killed. And these demons today are in activity. They are mad. They are killing. They are doing everything. And they have crept into the church. And let me tell you, there shall be a great falling away. And this falling away is here. My friends, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved. I'm going to give it over to the brother. Let him work with that a little bit. I thank you so very much, Brother Tim Jackson. Come on in here and talk to me and let somebody know what's getting ready to get down. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, Tim Jack.
Amen. Amen. All glory be to the Most High, brother. You could have kept going, amen.
Now, I know I could have kept going, but I want you to put some input on this, brother. This is hot stuff.
Amen. It is hot stuff, brother. Amen. Amen. You know, the world is in such a state. Amen. And we have to continue to pray for the world, pray for the saints, amen, pray for those who are lost, amen, that they receive salvation before it's too late, amen.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this week, amen, something came to my heart and came to my mind. I was just thinking, I say, it's going to be so terrible within that 7 years that things are going to be on this earth that's unheard of.
Yes, sir, brother.
Things that we can't even imagine. And people think when we talk like this that we are, you know, just trying to scare people and it's not scaring anyone. Amen. I have a family member. He's been announcing that he believes 2030 is going to be the year. Amen. I'll say this. I believe that we are very close to the return of Christ. And I know that we've been preaching this ministry now for going on 4 years now.
All right. Well,
2024 will be 4 years. Amen.
Yeah.
God's good. Amen.
Good.
So you know what that means? That's
Amen.
4 years that someone could have gotten saved. Someone
Come
that
on.
Has heard this message, heard his preaching and teaching. Amen. If you are a pastor, a minister, an evangelist, if you are just part of the kingdom of God, if you're part of the family, amen, you could be preaching the same ministry. Amen. We've given enough information, more than enough teaching. I know Elder Bazaar has been on twice a week, amen. And I've been on once a week, amen. And we've been preaching this message, and there's plenty of information that we've been sharing that you can share with the world, amen, that we are looking for the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. We are praying for you all, praying for your eternal salvation. As we stated time and time again, amen, that we love everybody.
Amen.
We don't
want to amen.
See nobody lost. Amen.
Lost.
And I was talking to the elder, I think it was last week, and I was on social media, and this woman was saying that 97,000, I think she said 97,000 black women was reported missing in 2022. That's mind-blowing. And we know that
there
are a lot higher than that. And we know that it's women of all races, but they said that that is too high for the amount of women because African-American women are one of the smallest populations of the minority or just one of the smallest populations of women in America. 97,000, that's both women and girls missing.
Come on.
They still
Come
ain't
on.
Found them. They ain't located them. And I'm telling y'all this now. My gosh, it don't matter what community you belong to. But I have to say this, in particularly in our community, you better get right. Because your only defense, after that trumpet sound,
Come
your
on,
only defense against racism, because it's going to happen. It's inevitable.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. All the things that we don't want to happen will happen in the Great Tribulation.
Will happen.
That's why it's called the Great Day. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be kidnapping, organ harvesting like crazy, race war. These rich people, they still talking about it. They still talking about how these rich people are buying these houses. I'm talking about in secluded areas. This is information that I'm hearing. And they're talking about how these people are buying houses in secluded. In other words, when I say secluded, Texas is so huge. Texas is so big that you could drive on a highway.
Yeah.
114. Amen. 114 runs through Dallas. On 114, there are roads. I remember one time I was coming back home one evening, and I don't know why my GPS it took me the wrong way. But I didn't pick up on it, brother, until almost like an hour later. I'm like, this ain't the right way home. Brother,
come
I'm talking
on.
About that GPS took me through places I didn't even know exist. I left on little towns and stuff I didn't even know exist. I'm like, where in the world am I? And I just kept following it. And I saw that eventually it was going to take me back to the main highway. But I said, you know what? You don't know what they have way off the grid. You don't know what's
come
going
on
in this world. And I keep telling folks, man, look at here. You can play all you want, but one thing you don't want to play with is your soul. I tell people, we've been saying this for the past 4 years. I've been saying it for 20 years. He's been saying it for 50-plus years. We just want you to receive salvation. I was thinking today, brother, because, you know, a lot of times the enemy will try to put nonsense in your mind, and you
yeah,
got to block
yeah.
it out. You got to use the scripture and the word of God to blot out the devil. And I was rebuking the devil. I said, you know what? I serve an awesome God. Can't nobody touch me without God's permission. I tell people
come
all the time, when you have salvation, when you have the one, I'm not talking about this other stuff they be doing out of this plan. I'm talking about when you really have confessed with your mouth and you really believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead. The Bible said that you are saved. Don't you know what that means to be saved? To be saved, you are saved. S-A-F-E. You are safe in God's
arms. Amen.
You are in the Holy Spirit. Man, let me tell you something right now. There is nothing more powerful than the power of God, than the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Nothing. No devil, not Lucifer himself, not the fallen angels, not the demons that came from the 200 angels that fall from there. Not no evil Luciferian, evil wicked spirit. Nowhere in existence can touch you. I don't care who you are. That's why I tell people, man, get saved. You don't know the benefits of being saved. The devil can't touch you. Can't nobody in this world do nothing to you when you got the Spirit of God indwelling you, because God won't allow. I tell
that's
people
right.
all the time. I have to literally tell people. I have to rebuke. I said the devil is a lie. God will strike you dead for anybody to try to touch you. Touch me or anybody in my family.
Come
I speak
on,
over my
on.
Family. The devil is a lie. You can't touch me. You can't touch this man of God because I'm covered by the blood of Christ. And you better
Woo.
Know who I am. Amen. Amen.
Thank
so
you, Lord.
This is the winning side. We have
Come
the
on.
Won. We have the victory. And I tell people, even when I lose, I still win.
You still
we
win.
We don't fight losing battles. Amen. We are covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. My faults are covered by the blood of Christ. I have the victory. And I wouldn't have it no other way. There's no, you know what? This game of life, when you receive Christ, you have won. You have won. Amen. You have
Amen.
Won. When you become a child of God, your enemy cannot do anything to you. It's so important to your family. I see all this stuff happening on social media. Family members attacking one another. Family members getting shot and killing one another. I'm talking about blood relatives attacking and harming one another. I'm talking about people coming up missing. They finding people with the dead bodies, organs missing. Look at here. You got to cover yourself. I know it's one thing to be saved and you praying for your family. But it's another thing for you to receive salvation yourself. God will cover you once you get saved. You'll be in some situations that just seem like it's just impossible to come out of. But God said, you are my child. Amen. It doesn't matter about your finances. It doesn't matter about the financial situation. God's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. He said, if I can take care of the animals, the birds, whatever in this world, I'm going to take care of you because you're my child. You're mine. You belong to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We want nothing more than for people to receive salvation. We don't want nobody to be lost. We don't want people to go through great tribulation. Most of all, we don't want your soul to be lost. We don't want you to sit here and go through to be lost and go to hell. Amen.
Go to hell.
You don't want to be devil. You sure don't want to go to the lake of fire. Amen. We were talking about that just this past week. Amen. About about ending up in the lake of fire. You don't want to go to the lake of fire. Amen?
No,
there
sir,
is
you
no
don't.
Escape. You know, me and my brother, we were talking about that. How, you know, there is no break. There is no no letting up. And I was just thinking about that. And I've been thinking about that for years. I said, you know what? People are going to be in so much pain that you don't have time to curse. You won't have time to curse God. You won't dare curse God. You're going to be in so much continuous agony and pain. And we have to preach this message because it's the truth, because most of your pastors and churches won't even preach this type of message. This type of stuff I used to hear coming up as a kid. You don't hear that type of stuff no more. Amen? You don't hear that type of stuff. Preachers don't preach like
no,
that
sir.
No more. They don't preach fire and brimstone messages.
No. Come on, preacher.
What are we talking about here when we sit here and say, amen, amen.
Come on,
all we want to talk about is motivational speeches. Amen. What are we saying when we sit here talking about money, wealth in the church? We talked about that this past week. You know, the sermons that are being preached is just about how much money you could. They still preaching that?
Come
I'm
on.
Like, Lord have mercy. Don't these folks see that the world's on the brink of World War III and you still talking about prosperity teachers? The churches are still trying
Come
to get
on,
back
man.
To the churches. And there's nothing wrong with getting the churches filled back up. But what are we talking about? Are we preparing the church for Christ? That's what we need to be talking about, preparation and preparing the church for the return of our Lord and Savior.
Regardless
of what goes on in this world, hey, we may be here alone in what we think. We may not come back in our lifetime. I'm not saying that I know the day or the hour or that we know the day or the hour, but I'm just saying, most of all, are you prepared? If you was to leave this world today, see, that's what counts is your soul. If you was to leave this world today, ask yourself, are you ready for Christ? Are you
Come on,
preacher.
Come on.
Are you preparing your mind every single day? Are you trying to better your situation? Are you praying to God? I pray to God daily. Early in the morning when I open my eyes, that's one of the first things I do. And I try to, and I'm focusing so much to be as positive as much as I can. Amen. And what I mean
All
by
right.
that, I've been a positive person. But I'm saying, when somebody do me negative or do me wrong,
Come
I try
on.
To put it in my mind immediately. Because sometimes, you know, things will catch you off guard. People will be ugly to you, and you'll be thinking negative stuff. But you know what I try to do now? I say, Lord, they don't know no better.
They don't know no better.
And go on. They don't know no better. I pray for people to go on. And that makes my day better. Amen. God has blessed me and put me in a situation to where I got peace. God is so good. I was just telling God that. I said, God, you are so good. I had to tell him that you're so awesome. God, you're
awesome. Awesome.
God, I love
awesome.
You. You know, it's something else because, see, you know, we know that, but over time we begin to take it for granted because we don't say it. We're supposed to praise him. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to praise God every chance that we get. But sometimes we get so comfortable in our salvation. And sometimes we don't give God the glory and the honor that he deserves on a daily basis but like we should. Amen. Because we're so busy going about our day, tending to our business, our family business, our loved ones' business. But what about God? Every single day we should have that conversation throughout the day. God's just so awesome. God, I love you so much. I thank you.
Woo,
just
thank
give
you, Lord.
Just
thank you, Lord.
Express gratitude. Just express gratitude. Man, I get so much joy. Amen, brother, when I be on the air with you, I get so much joy just listening to you. Amen. I get so much joy because I can't help but to just think about what Paul said. Paul said, I haven't seen, ear has not heard, nor has
yeah.
it entered into the hearts of men. What God got for me, little old me,
Come on.
Little
Come
old
on.
Tim Jackson, sitting over here in the corner by myself. Sometimes you feel like don't nobody care about you, don't nobody love you. But you know what? God said, I love you, and I got something great for you. Just hold
Amen.
On to it. I know we all are waiting. I know that some of you are hurting, that you are in affliction, but just hang on to God's unchanging hand and watch and see when he come back. Oh, my God. I just think about, brother, how life is going to be on the other side. I was just thinking about heaven the other day, how beautiful it's going to be to walk on the streets of gold, how beautiful heaven is going to be. No more pain, no more suffering. I don't have to worry about high blood pressure. I don't have to worry about certain things. I don't have to worry about pain. You know, I'm getting a little up. Hey, I'm not old or anything, but I'm kind of matured in age, brother, and my body ain't the same. I can't get up like I used to when I was young. I can't move like I used to. Hey, man, I'm kind of beginning to feel what my brothers are saying, because all my brothers are older than me. I say, oh, you wait. They always tell me now, as we pass through the years. They always say, oh, you wait, brother. They always tell me, you wait till you get to where we at. And yeah, and as time has went on, I've seen the changes that they've been talking about. Oh, but don't you know, the time is going to come. When the trumpet sounds.
Woo! Come on,
no
preacher. Tell it. Tell it.
Dead in Christ rise.
Christ will rise.
Don't you know that you're going to be Christ-like? Like the brother said,
Christ-like.
You're not going to have a blood.
Say that again.
Amen. Christ-like. You're going to have a spirit system, not a blood system. You won't need a heart to pump no blood through your body. You're going to have the Holy Spirit of God, Yahweh, living inside of you. You're going to have this body here that's dying, this body here that's decaying, that hurts and feels pain, feels stress. We pick up weight, we lose weight, we don't look the same. You know, some people have picked up weight, some people have lost weight, you don't look the same. You lost your hair turned gray, you get wrinkles in your skin, you get stretch marks, amen, you get imperfections on your skin. But guess what? Oh, my gosh, with a trumpet sound.
Down!
What did Paul say? You're going to have a new body.
A new body.
Paul talked about that. Did he not, brother? Paul said
sir.
You're going to have a new body.
Yes, he did.
Amen. That's what he said. He said, he said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he says, for this corruptible must put on
incorruption.
Do you know what that means? Like the brother said, I won't need these glasses no more. And you know what? That's a funny thing, bro, because I've been noticing, you know, just through the years here, probably the last 5 years or so, my eyes are kind of, I can tell. I'm like, man, sometimes I take off, I'm wearing glasses. Sometimes I take off my glasses and put the book or something closer to my face. I said, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
I said, man. I'm beginning to feel what my dad used to say. When my older brothers used to say that, you know, you ain't the same. You get older. And I hear elderly people say that. People who are mature in age say, man, I tell you. I said, young man, he said, don't get old. He said, you won't like this too much. He said, you go through a lot of changes with your body. And I'm beginning to see. I have friends that don't even wear glasses. So they can't drive at night no more. I said, gee, I ought to be jealous. One of my friends, he said, no, man, I can't even drive to be trouble at night. I said, really? He said, yeah, I said, I've been having 20/20 eye vision all my life. But he said, at night, man, I got to be careful. He said, I can hardly see at night.
Ooh.
I said, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
You know, they feeding us this bad food. My brother was talking about that. He said, he believed, well, one of my brothers said, he believes this is the food they feeding us. I believe it.
Come on.
I believe it.
And,
you know, my daughter was talking about this man, you know, she's prepping to be a nurse, and she said that the man that they were trying to resuscitate, he was just 50 years old. She said, I don't know if the man made it or not, but she was doing chest compressions on him. And she was just saying, you know, how the man, he was just 50 years old. I said, Lord have mercy, I'm just barely 51. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what it's going to be your last day, your last opportunity. I'm not speaking on the man's salvation because I don't know the man. But I'm simply saying, you just don't know. I said, 50? I'm 51. I said, to me, that's still young. I know a lot of young people think that's old. But when you, it's funny that when you get to that age, you say, oh, I ain't that old. You keep telling yourself that.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, amen, brother, but what I'm saying to you is receive salvation. Don't like my dad used to always say when I was growing up. I mean, my dad used to say when he used to preach, he said, please don't put off today for tomorrow. That's what my dad used to say when he was in church. When he opened the door of the church, because he really was sincere, and he wanted people to be saved. And that must be where I get it from, because I'm sincere. I don't want nobody lost. I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are. We don't want nobody to be lost, because you know what?
No.
There is no turning back. Once
Come
the death
on.
Angel carries you, once he gets a hold of you, once you close your eyes on this side and you never confess with your mouth and never believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead by the Father in heaven, my gosh, there's
my
another
God.
World on the other side. And
Come
you got
on,
people
preacher.
Actually, again, you know, I have these different conversations. Y'all may think I'm playing, but I talk. This is how I talk. When I'm talking to other people, man, this is what we talk about. The church, the Bible, the afterlife, the thing that's going on. When I talk to family members, this is what we talk about. And we were talking about, man, this is it.
Come on.
There is no coming
Come on.
Back.
Come on.
You don't get a second chance. And
no,
you'll be
you don't.
Shocked how many people who actually believe this is a joke. They say, oh, man, there y'all go with that fairy tale stuff again. You'd be surprised of the stuff that people say. People don't believe. It's funny how people believe in demons and the devil, but they don't believe in God. Oh, that's
Come
like
on,
that one sentence that made that you admit.
Come on.
If there's demons, you admit that there's a devil, or you admit that they, that there are evil people out there. What do you think is the opposite of that? There are good spiritual people by the Holy Spirit. That's us. We're praying and having intercession and interceding for the lost, because you want to know why? We wasn't born saved. Elder Bazaar wasn't born saved.
No, I wasn't.
Him wasn't born saved.
No.
Amen. We were born in sin.
In
this
sin.
Is what Paul said. We were born in sin. He said, well, we are carnal, sold into sin. Ain't that what he say?
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And we have to become saved. We have to receive salvation. Amen. That's what
Come
Paul
on,
said over in Romans 7 chapter. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am flesh. Amen. The scripture says, I am carnal. That means I am flesh. Sold under sin. That means I was born.
Come
no,
on,
he said,
come
I can't
on.
Help. He said, I can't help who I am. I can't
yes,
help
sir.
What I am. I was born like this. You know what? There's a saying that the old school used to always tell me to say. He said, son, there's two things you can't change. You can't change how you were born, and you can't change who your family members are.
Come on,
saying.
Now.
Hey,
come
man,
on.
You can't change who your family members are. How the way your family acts is just how they act. You can't change nothing about how you was born. Now, you can go through all these little surgeries and all that stuff. But what I'm saying, for the most part, pretty much what I'm saying is, if I was born a black man, that's who I am. Except to embrace who you are. I am a black man. Amen. I embrace that. I accept that. I love that. Amen. I love being a black man, despite what society thinks about me. Despite how society tries to treat me and downgrade me and downplay me and hate on me, I still, thank the Most High God, I still love who I am.
Amen.
I am.
Amen.
Amen. So,
Amen.
What Paul is saying is in Romans 7, chapter verse 14, he said, I am flesh. In other words, I'm just using that example as an analogy to show you that he's saying, I can't help how I was born. I was born into this thing. So
Come
now,
on,
in other words, he said, I was born to lie. I was born to cheat. I was born to steal. I was born to kill. He said, this is just how I am. That is the nature of man. Even God, Yahweh, said it himself over in Genesis. He said, the Bible says, it grieved God that he created man, for man was in his heart was evil.
evil.
That was just man. That ain't what God made man. But because man decided to disobey God.
Come on, preacher.
The Bible says sin entered into the world. So now we got to deal with all this killings, this murdering, stealing, backbiting. I'm talking about evil, wicked.
Evil, evil.
Organ harvesting, like the brother said, rape, molestation, taking advantage of men, women, and children, just all kind of evil stuff. Man is, it will do evil things for money. People will sell the old mother and children for money.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
Bad world we live in. Man, and it's getting worse and worse and worse.
And worse.
The Bible says that it's worse. That's right, brother. The word says that the world will continue to wax cold.
Wax cold.
And we see it happening before our eyes. You see China and Russia, they're not going to stop. China's talking about by 2025, they will attack Taiwan. They don't care what America do. And if America interferes, it's going to be World War III. They said that. And man, they keep showing these videos online where China keeps on flying into the airspace. They just disrespecting America. They testing America because they know America is afraid of them. That's real. America's afraid of China. The young people in this country said they're not going to war. Well, you can't blame them. You can't expect no American citizens to go to war when they've allowed 8 million immigrants, illegal immigrants, to enter into this country illegally. And that's not just them. They're coming from everywhere. I heard they're coming from China.
South America.
They got folks coming over here from, what's that place they're having the war with?
Ukraine.
Russia having a war with Ukraine.
Oh.
I'm like, Lord have mercy. And now they're beginning to let some black people through the curse. They didn't want to let them in, the Africans and the Haitians. They didn't want to let them in. If they let everybody, you ought to see videos of this stuff. I'm like, this just cannot be real. They got these folks just coming to this country. And you think that the American people going to go to war for a country to where people, me and somebody, was just talking about this the other day, me and a young man. I said, the citizens of this country, we work. My dad and me worked all our life. Elder was all worked all his life. These men and women have gave 30, 40, and in some cases 50 years of their lives to this working system in this country to build this country up. All races of people.
Come on, preacher.
You turn around and just to give out money in the billions. And if I go down and say, I need some help, even my brother was complaining, said, man, they don't even hardly want to give me no food stamps. He's retired. He said, I hear him complain a lot, and I understand why. Because he said, man, it's just a state. He's a retired veteran. I mean, he's a military veteran. And he was just saying, man, it's sad. This don't make no sense. You can't get no help. You ask for help, and that's true. You ask for help, man, they are relieved. You and me, to get your electric bill paid, to get some money for gas, whatever the situation. This country is reluctant to help the people that built it. But you
come on.
People who have not contributed one day or 1 year of their life as working class citizens in this country. You're giving them money in the thousands and the hundreds because you want to know why. You're putting up a place for them to live. That costs thousands of dollars alone. You're giving them groceries. That's hundreds of dollars. Depending on the size of the family, the months go by, you've been giving them thousands of dollars. They get money just to have. I've heard stories that these folks just sit up in hotels watching TV all day. God, girls, I'm like, man, they living the life. I said, what is going on in this country that they just allowing this? And they just pushing around the poor citizens of this country. But God don't like us.
Have mercy.
The rest of the year. Man, and then they laid off, I think they said Tyson Foods laid off 1,000 workers and turned around and gave jobs to 25,000 illegal immigrants. I said, brother,
come on, look at that. Lord have mercy.
Man, this country gonna burn. You think, and they've already ain't reparated us, the African-American people, for what they've done to our ancestors. That was horrendous. 500 years of abuse, Man, you think judgment ain't gonna come down this thing? You think Christ ain't gonna judge this nation? Oh man, this nation is gonna be judged so harsh. When the trumpet sounds, see, the only thing, see, let me tell you this right now. Only thing that is withholding is he that's withholding, which is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit
of God. Because the saints are still on this earth. Once the saints are carried back up to heaven,
it's over.
With Christ,
yeah,
it's over.
It's over.
Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere at all times. If there is any existence, he is there. That's the Spirit of God. I don't care if it's in the earth, around the earth, in space, the universe, in the earth. He even dwells some of us, which is by the Spirit of God, because we're saved. The Holy Spirit is there. But when the trumpet sounds, he still won't be here. He's just going to allow. See, people misinterpret that. People say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit going to leave. No. He ain't leaving. He ain't going nowhere. He's God. He's omnipresent. He can't go anywhere. He has to be everywhere at all times. All he's going to do is just simply step back. He's still here, but he's still watching. He's just going to allow things to take place on this planet.
Come on, preacher.
My
That's
God,
the word.
I'm going to tell you, yes, sir.
That's the word.
You better know it. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be terrible, a terrible time for those who are lost, for those have rejected Christ, for those who joke about God, for those who act as if God doesn't exist. Oh, that's nonsense. I've heard people say some rowdy things, and I just sit back watching this the entire time because you got to be careful. Folks, it's crazy these days. Folks be ready to fight you over this nonsense they believe. So you have to be very, very careful. But all I'm saying to you is, right now, while you have a chance, we were just talking about this the other day, while you have breath in your body, go ahead and receive it. Because you want to know why? Tomorrow's not promised. See, that's one thing about being a child of God. If I don't tomorrow, oh, my gosh, Christ, I'm coming back to get you, Tim.
Glory. Glory.
He made a promise. Remember when he told the disciples?
Yes, he did.
Remember when he told the people in his day and time? He said, I must go to prepare a place for you.
A place for you.
And where I go, you shall be also. In other words, you're going to come with. I'm coming back to you.
Come on. Come on. Tell
us. That's a promise that he made. My God. Man, the benefits of being a saint, the benefits of being a child of God.
Yes,
you are winning. You have won. We got the victory.
All right.
And we are praying for so many folks to receive salvation. We're praying for so many people to not overlook this. Before I turn it back over to the brother, I'm going to be listening to it before I go off the air. I want to, if it's okay, if I got a little time, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
A little time. I didn't realize the time was, brother. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Doc. You go ahead.
I want to take y'all to Romans. You already know where I'm going. Romans 10, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
And I want to share this with you. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, the scripture says thou shalt be saved. It's really simple. There's nothing complicated about God. See, I tell people all the time, even when I preach in church, it's God's job to be complicated because God is complicated. He created the universe. We don't know how large this universe is. When they talk about light years, what is that? They talk about you leaving. When you come back, people are older or dead and gone. If you was to be able to leave this planet and be gone for a short period of time, but when you come back, years have passed away. What is that? What is God? God is so powerful. All I'm saying to you is receive God because he loves you.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Brethren, love you. And all
Amen.
We want is for nobody
Amen.
To be lost. Go ahead, doctor. Go ahead. I'll be listening
brother,
to you. I'm
brother,
going off.
Brother.
I'll be listening to you. God bless
you. All right. God bless you. God bless you. We are telling the truth, nothing but the truth, if it costs my life. I'm willing to tell the truth. If you don't believe I'm telling the truth and you want to get rid of me, go ahead. But I know I'm telling the truth. I know the brother's telling the truth. We are in it. Don't die. Don't die. Don't die without Christ. I mean, that's ABC. Don't die without Christ in your life. And you can accept him like ABC. Repent, believe, and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and was put in the grave. And on the third day, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and he's coming back again. But I want to let you know one of the greatest misfits, one of the greatest mistakes that people are making is to listen to false prophets, false fame, funny people, people who talk a whole lot of garbage that don't even come from the Bible. They talk about what they experienced. But look at what Jesus said. Jesus said in that last days, there'll be watering down gospel, teaching the doctrines of man rather than the doctrines of God. Even false prophets and false Christ. I'm going to name some false Christ and some false prophets. Now, there's a difference between false Christ and false prophet. A false prophet is a man that claims that he knows Christ and don't know him. But a false Christ is somebody that claims that he is Christ and he's not Christ. Ain't near Christ, because there's only one man that was ever born. There was only one deity that was ever born. Jesus Christ was born, but God wasn't born. God became flesh, wrapped himself up in human flesh in Mary's womb and came out the Son of God, God in the flesh. That's Bible. That's B-I-B-L-E. That ain't nothing but Bible. Whoever confessed that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. Whoever confesses not that he's not God, is not of God, he's Antichrist. So what we got now, we got a lot of fake, phony preachers today, and people scared to stand up against them. I'll stand up against anybody, any man, any woman, any deity that don't preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which means that Jesus Christ is God, period, in the flesh. Oh, man, oh, God, died on Calvary's cross, whipped, beaten, nailed to a cross, marked upon, whipped 39 times, spit upon, went to the grave with all power in heaven and in this earth, got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth. If a man is not preaching that gospel, if that man is not preaching the birth of Jesus Christ, if that man is not preaching the suffering of Jesus Christ, if that man is not preaching the miracles of Jesus Christ, if that man is not preaching what? The death of Jesus Christ and the burial of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is not preaching the gospel. Come on now. He's not preaching the gospel. He's preaching a fake gospel. If he's preaching money, it's not the gospel. If he's preaching fame and glory, not the gospel. If he's preaching self, it's not the gospel. If he's preaching all this riches and all this motivation speeches and all this materialistic gain, he's not preaching the gospel. And people listen to this crowd. People believe in this crowd. If he's preaching that his God allows you to be a liar and a prostitute and said it's all right, he's not preaching the gospel. That's why Jesus Christ died, to save you from sin. And we got preachers today preaching false doctrine. Plenty of them. I'm going to name one. The great Louis Farrakhan. Is preaching a false gospel. Y'all hear me? Listen to me. He can preach black power. He can preach the black folks. He's going to do this and do that. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died and rose again, suffered and died for your raunchy sins. Farrakhan makes $3 million a year. $3 million a year preaching false doctrine. We got Bishop Eddie Long, $15 million. $15 million. And ain't preaching nothing, living with men, cornholing men. What? Don't have no scruples, don't have no way of holiness, not preaching holiness. Holiness is what? Holiness is living like Christ lived. Live like Christ lived. Live holy, live righteous, live what? Live in love. Not that love that these guys are putting down. So we got a Bishop Eddie Long. He's gone now. Lord rest his soul. We got a Paula White, $15 million. What is all these people call themselves preaching the gospel? What are they going to do with all this money? They got big houses. They got fine cars. They're living lustily, and they get up and tell you a whole bunch of lies and don't even mention repentance. Don't even mention sanctification. Don't even mention living for Christ and witness to the people about the power that's in the cross. They don't forgot about the cross. We got Paula White. We got Joyce Myers, $18 million a year. $18 million a year by getting up and talking to a bunch of women and giving them a bunch of lies. I ain't here to say nothing about the blood of Jesus Christ. I ain't here to say nothing about the suffering of Jesus Christ. I ain't never hear nothing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I ain't hear nothing about the love of God that he has for the whole world, not just for a certain amount of people, and not just by her little fancy talking and people believe it and sucking it up like a baby sucking a bottle. And then they'll wonder, why did I miss heaven? You miss heaven because whoever you listen to wasn't preaching salvation only. You hear what I say? Only through Jesus Christ. No salvation cannot be attained but through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. Apostle Paul said, there is no other name. Apostle Peter said, there is no other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved. There's no other name. We got Joyce Myers. We got Juanita Barnes, makes $10 million a year. We got Bishop T.D. Jakes. And when you hear the stuff that's going on with him and his congregation, you going to listen to him when he believes in paganism, when he believes in lesbianism, when he believes in all this shit, loose living, and get up and give you a motivation speech like he's going through some kind of trials and tribulations. There's some trials and tribulations you must go through. And there's sometimes tribulations you bring yourself up on it. We got Rick Warner, $25 million a year. We got a Clefo Dollar, $27 million a year, false prophets. We got Joel Osteen, $40 million a year. We got Benny Hinn, $42 million a year. We got Kenneth Copeland and many more that's making big-time money, giving up and getting in front of you and making a half an hour speech or a 45-minute speech and take up collection with 30,000 people. If a person give a dollar apiece at 30,000 people in one auditorium, 30,000 people, that's $30,000 in one night. And the people talking about they preaching the gospel. That's not the gospel. That's hell. That's hell, raw hell. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants to expound. He don't want to expound Jesus Christ. Because the devil knows through Jesus Christ is the only way you can attain salvation. So he want to keep you away from what? The cross of Christ and the love of Christ and the suffering of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, so that he can keep your mind off of your soul, because your soul can use materialistic things. It's only the flesh that wants that. In the last day, perilous times will come. Perilous times are here. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. There is war on the verge of arising. After this year eclipse that's going to happen April the 8th, it's going to be a rising of war in the Middle East. Why is there so much catastrophe in the Middle East. The reason why is because Jesus Christ is the focal point of coming back. Jesus Christ is soon to come back to save his people, and his people is the Jewish people, and the world, the Gentile world, and the Illuminatis, and all the occultism is trying to get rid of the Jewish people, because Jewish people are the only one that God used in the Old Testament. And by using them in the Old Testament, they tell me the Jews failed God in the Old Testament because they went rebellious against God. And because they went rebellious against the Almighty God, God said, I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to let you know who I am. I'm going to bring you back into the land. But by you being disobedient, I'm going to cause you to have a problem. And the problem is unbelief. They will not believe. But as the time go on, they're going to believe, because they tell me the Jews now are looking for the Messiah, but the wrong one. And when the wrong one come, he's going to give them what? He's going to give them an offer. What is the offer? The offer is, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you the right to sign a peace treaty with the Antichrist called the covenant of death. They're going to make a covenant of death with the false Christ, and the false Christ is going to give them permission to rebuild the temple. He's going to give them permission to what? Restore Judaism. And the Jews are going to fall head over heels over him, and they're going to believe that he is actually Jesus Christ. And by that, they are going to have to go through a great tribulation. And the great tribulation will only happen at the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, because the 7-year tribulation is sure to come, and it is closer than you think it is. It is closer than you think it is. Well, Brother Bazard, how close do you think it is? Well, according to the scriptures that I read in my Bible, and I'll stand on the Bible, I'll lift the Bible up, because it's the Word of God. And in the Word of God, it said in the last day the son of perdition would come, and that he would sit in the temple. And the Jews, like I said before, are getting ready to build a temple. And this temple is be the temple used in the tribulation period. But I guarantee you with no money back, I guarantee you with my life, I guarantee with my soul, I guarantee you with my spirit that this year Antichrist is alive today in his own earth, and he's getting ready to come on the scene. How old is he, Brother Bazard? Brother Bazard said through the Spirit of God, he is exactly 56 years old. Well, what country is he coming from? Well, according to the book of Daniel, the 10 horns represent the European common market. And Daniel said, I saw 10 horns, and the 11th horn is going to come up in the midst of the 10 horns. And the 11th horn came up in 1986. And from 1986 until 2024, they tell me the only country that came up from among the other 10 countries was the country called Spain. Spain! Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying Spain is the country in which the Antichrist will come from. He will come from Spain, that's amongst the 10 European common market nations. And these nations are vivid today. They're in the news. NATO. NATO belongs to America. NATO, in fact, America came from NATO, because the British had a Revolutionary War back in 1776. The Revolutionary War, because Britain was trying to come over and take control of the American continent. And they said, we're going to make kings out of there. And they said, no. And so the Revolutionary War started. And from since then, America has been the offspring of the British Empire. And by being the offspring of the British Empire, we are The British country is our mother. And since then, America has been connected with the British Empire. And the British Empire will break down as the 10 European common markets. And when Rome fell, that was the British Empire that came from the British Empire. And since it came from the British Empire at the end time, look here. America is going to link up with NATO. And NATO will bring forth the Antichrist. And the Antichrist's name is King Philippi. King Philippi. That is the king of Spain. He's a descendant from Jacob and Esau. Because Spain is the descendants of Esau. And Jacob is the descendant of Abraham. And these two countries are brothers, because when Jacob came out of Rebekah's womb, when Jacob came out of Rebekah's womb and Esau came out first, Jacob took a hold on Esau's heel. And from Esau's heel, they tell me, Esau lost all of his inheritance that he was supposed to receive through Jacob. And he lost it by selling his birthright to Jacob. And Rebekah tricked Jacob and tricked Isaac into giving Esau his inheritance and took his birthright. And even today, the Spanish people and the Jewish people have an arc at each other. They are called a feud about who is God's chosen people. And guess what? At the end time, it will be Esau and Jacob fighting over who will rule the world. Will it be Jesus Christ or will it be the false Christ? The false Christ will come from Esau and through Jacob, because they intermarried with one another and they call it Hispanic. The Spanish people are a brother to the Jewish people. And by that, the Antichrist will arise. How do you know that, preacher? I know that by the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah told them there's a time coming at the end time that's called Jacob's trouble. And Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament was between Jacob and Esau. And in the tribulation period, the same thing will come up, but it will come up in a greater catastrophe. In the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation, it is called Jacob's trouble, because it will be Esau. It will be the Gentile nation that will link up with the Antichrist, and they will try to overthrow the Jewish people. Why? Because it's called the great tribulation, and at the end of the great tribulation, it's called the end of what? Jacob's trouble. And in Jacob's trouble, God said, I'm going to have the wrath of God come upon the Jewish people, and they are going to get a whooping, but I am going to save a remnant, and this remnant will go to a place called Petra, and Petra is a hiding place where God's going to hide his people until the end of the 3.5 years are over. After the 3.5 years are over, they tell me God is going to bring out a remnant, and this remnant will be judged. Good God Almighty will be judged at the end of the tribulation period. And the end of the tribulation period will represent the beginning of the millennium reign. And the millennium reign is when Jesus Christ will come back with the church in clouds and power and in great glory. And when he comes back, he's coming back not for the church, but he's coming back with the church. Because in the beginning of the 3.1, at the beginning of the tribulation period, I heard old Apostle Paul said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church. And when the rapture of the church is gone, we're going to go to heaven. You talking about a good time, they tell me. And the rapture of the church will happen in the fourth chapter of Revelation. And John said, I looked up, and immediately I was in the spirit, and I was caught up to the throne of God. And he said, come up hither. And that means in the fourth chapter of book of Revelation, the rapture of the church occurred. In the fifth chapter, the church is in the judgment seat of Christ. In the sixth chapter, somebody had to ask the question, who is going to break the seven seals and open up the seven seals so it can so it can roam the earth? And to tell me, the seven seals represent the seven judgment that will come upon the earth. Let me slow down and break this down for you. The first three chapters in the book of Revelation, it covers 2,000 years. 2,000 years the church age has been on this planet. The church has been on the planet from the day of Pentecost all the way up to 2024. The church has been on the earth. The church is still on the earth. The church is the most powerful divine institution that has preserved the world so far. But the church has failed the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The church is not doing what God told them to do. And what did God tell the church to do? He said, I want you to be a witness for me. I want you to go tell the world. I want you to tell the postman. I want you to tell the truck driver. I want you to tell the liar. I want you to tell the backbiter. I want you to tell the whoremonger. I want you to tell the prostitute. I want you to tell the effeminate man. I want you to tell the whore. I want you to tell the lesbianism. I want you to tell the incest. I want you to tell the lesbianism. I want you to tell the drunkard and the liar and the drug addict. I want you to tell those that are living in wickedness. I want you to tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And to tell me the church age is almost over. Yes, it is, because the Bible says in the last days that you'll be a falling away from the cross, as you'll be a fallen away from the suffering of Jesus Christ, be a fallen away from the resurrection, be a fallen away from the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the church has fell away. The world has fell away. The world don't want nothing to do with the cross anymore. People don't want to bear that cross. They don't want to suffer for Jesus Christ. They don't want to give their life up to Jesus Christ. They still want to play with the world and try to play with the church. But they tell me, Jesus said in the last church age moment, he said, you neither hot nor cold. He said, if you neither hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. The church age ends in the third chapter. That's the end of the church age. Because from the fourth chapter all the way over to the 19th chapter of what? Revelation, you will never, ever find the mention of the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not mentioned from the fourth chapter, from the 19th chapter. Because from that point, the seven-year tribulation will be up on the earth. And there won't be nobody here to witness to the world. That's what the devil would want. That's what the demons would want. But let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you plain as the face on my face. God said, I'm through with the church. The church will be at the judgment seat of Christ at the rapture. You hear that? The fourth chapter. And after the church is raptured up, there won't be one saved person on this planet. Not one. And since there won't be no saved person on this planet, not one, the Lord said the church cannot witness to you no more. No more. No more. The first witness was the day of Pentecost. And the last witness will be when the rapture of the church is caught up. That will be the last witness. And after that, there won't be no more saved people up on the earth until, good God Almighty, until John the Revelator, John that was on the island of Patmos, John that leaned on Jesus' breast, John the Revelator said this in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. Listen to what it says. It says this, and after this, 7th chapter now, this is the beginning of the tribulation. Church is gone. It's gone. Ain't coming back no more until the 19th chapter of Revelation. Are you ready? After this, these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, nor on anything. In other words, judgment is held back. After the rapture of the church, judgment will be held back because four angels are going to hold back the wind. The wind represents calamity. Judgment is going to be held back until, John said, I saw another angel ascending what from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, this is what the angel said. The angel said this, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead before judgment comes up on earth. An angel came out of the east with the seal of God in his hand, and he said, I'm going to seal a number of people. What people? He said, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. I heard the number of them that were going to seal. And there was sealed 144,000 of the children of Israel. Before judgment is come, there's going to be 144,000 Jews coming out of Israel, coming out of Jerusalem, coming out of God's plan to get the gospel to be preached by the Jewish nation. The Jews are going to be the last people that will preach the gospel before Christ comes back to the earth. And John said, I'm going to give you a censor. I'm going to give you a number. And he said, and the tribe of Judah, there were 12,000. The tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. The tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. The tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. It was sealed. 12,000 from each tribe equals 144,000 Jews. This will only happen after the rapture of the church. So now the Jews are getting ready, and God is getting the 144,000 ready now. God is getting them ready. I'm telling you what God is telling me. God said he's getting them ready. Because after the church is gone, there won't be no more witnesses up on the earth until God sends 144,000. It's not the Baptist, not the Presbyterian. It's not no name denomination. It's not no cult. It's not nothing. God is going to anoint them to preach the gospel for 3.5 years. 3.5 years equals 1,260 days or 42 months. The first part of the 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace, stop at the end at the rapture. When the rapture, the gospel of grace was stopped. But now it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's going to be mixed with grace. And these 144,000 Jews are literally going to be televised. It's going to be on the internet. It's going to be on TikTok. It's going to be on Twitter. It's going to be on every phone around the world. It's going to be on every big screen, little screen, in your car. It's going to be a worldwide evangelism by the Jewish nation. For the first time ever in human history, they will be preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And it will last for 1,000 years. But after they preach for three and one half years, look what happened in the ninth verse. And after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations. Thank God. God is going to save somebody from all nations during the tribulation period through the preaching of the Jewish people, from all nations. So there ain't going to be no race riots. There ain't going to be no fighting who's the best and who's the better. God's going to save. Woo! He's going to save a great multitude that no man can number, of all nations, of all kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palms in their hand, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and into the Lamb. And all the angels stood round and about the throne, and about the elders. And the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worship God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might unto our God forever and ever and ever. Good God Almighty. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence did they come? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they that came out of great tribulation, and having washed their robes, and made them white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. Good God Almighty. And I want to let you know this evening, yeah, after the church is gone, they tell me, God said, I got 144,000 Jews that I owe them 7 years to deal with them. I dealt with them for 483 years, and I cut them off at the cross. When I cut them off at the cross, I discontinued and told Apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles. And I told Paul to graft the Gentiles in, that I can stir up jealousy amongst the Jews. Yeah, 2,000 years the Gentiles have been hearing the gospel. Yeah, 2,000 years they've been saving and being saved. And when the 2,000 years are up, at the sound of the trumpet, the dead in Christ arise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. And when we meet the Lord in the air, God said, I'm going to cut off the Jews. I'm going to cut off the Gentiles and engraft the Jews back in. And when I engraft the Jews back in, I'm going to give them 7 years to preach the gospel, 3.5 years to 144,000, and then I'm going to send Moses and Elijah in the last 3.5 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the church is getting ready to go. I'm saying that the 144,000, not Jehovah Witness, no, they, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing with earthly man structure. This is God. This is God doing. He already got these people chosen. He already get ready to get them ready to do what he going to do when the church is gone. He's going to bring the nation Israel back into their rightful place and let them, let the world know that this Messiah that they have rejected over the period of 2,600 years, they finally are going to have their eyes open, and they are going to weep and cry. They're going to moan. They are going to repent, and they're going to find out how sorry they were in rejecting Jesus Christ. But yet still Christ said, you are my brothers. You are my chosen. You are the one that was supposed to do what y'all, I asked you to do. You didn't, but now you're going to fulfill your ministry by preaching with 144,000 for 3.5 years, and there's a great number of Gentiles and Jews that got saved during the reign of the Antichrist. So God is still going to be able to save people after the rapture. It's not a second chance. It's the last chance. It's the last opportunity. It's the last thing. You don't want to have to go through that. But if you go through it, you will know exactly what to do. You take note and believe what the Jews are going to preach, because the devil is going to have something else to try to turn you away from what you're hearing. The devil is going to try to prevent you from receiving Christ. And after the 144,000 get through with their mission, they are going to ascend into the heaven and go on top of the Mount of Zion. And wherever Christ is, they're going to follow him. And then tell me, God said, now the 144,000 is through with what they got to do. I'm going to send two witnesses. I'm going to send two witnesses. And I'm going to let them preach for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, time and times and dividing time. And they are going to be the witnesses to witness the last 3.5 years. And God said, I got two sticks of dynamite, because these two prophets are dynamite. Who are they? One is Moses, and the other is Elijah. They are going to preach for 3.5 years. Every day, every year, every hour, they're going to be standing in the streets of Jerusalem, and they're going to preach day and night, 24/7, around the world. And guess what? The whole world is going to witness, because the gospel will be preached to all the world, and the Bible says, and then the end shall come. So they're going to hear from the 144,000, they're going to hear from two witnesses, and they're going to hear from three angels are going to fly in the midst of the heaven and tell the world, fear God and keep his commandments. And they're going to tell the world, in the last 3.5 years, do not receive the mark of the beast. Do not believe the Antichrist. Do not believe the system that they already are getting ready to set up. They get ready to set up an image of a beast. And the image of the beast is AI. AI is a electronic automation robot, and they are making them by the thousand, and they're going to make one that's going to be able to detect everybody in the world. You say, oh, that's crazy. I don't believe that. Well, there was a time that men didn't believe man could fly. Men didn't believe man could go underwater under submarine. Men didn't believe they could get to the moon. Men, they didn't believe nothing. But when it happened, they found out that it's possible. And it's possible now for man to make a robot, an automatic computer that can do megabytes, kilobytes, gigabytes, and get information on you and one alone in a split second. They can detect you and find you anywhere. They can tell you if you're dead. They can tell you if you're in the hospital. They can tell you where you're at. They can tell you what you're doing. They can tell you where you get ready to go. They can tell you where you've been. Woo! Man's technology has become man's God. And the devil says, I'm going to get as many as I can. I'm going to get them to disbelieve the 144,000, and I'm going to get them to believe the Antichrist. And I'm going to do a miracle that's going to shock the world into believing that this Antichrist is God Almighty. And you say, Brother Mazar, well, what is that? And where is that coming from? It comes from the 12th chapter of Revelation. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, you will find that there was a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. You go down a little further about the 7th verse, he said, and there was a war in heaven. The devil and his angels fought against Michael and his angels. Now, this year, war is a continuation of the original war that happened way back before the world was even populated. The devil rebelled against God, and God threw him out of heaven, threw him head first, smashed him, threw him to earth. When he threw him to earth, Satan got Adam and Eve to believe his lie. And Adam and Eve gave the world back to Satan. He gave it to Satan, said, all right, Satan, we disobey God. What do you have for us? And we look at the world today. We look at the generations. We look at the centuries. We look at the millennium. Look what Satan has done to the world. Look what Satan has done to the human race. Look what Satan has done to men, boys, and girls. Look what he's done. Wreck. He's a wreck. He can't do nothing but three things. Kill, rob, and destroy. He'll rob your soul. He'll take your soul to hell and let you burn with him. He'll take everything you got. A lot of people say, well, look what he gave me. That's what happens. He'll give you everything first. And then when you get down to a place where you can't get satisfaction from nothing, he'll take that. He'll take your health. He'll take your status quo. He'll take everything you got and pull you right on to hell because you won't believe that Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you by his blood because he tries to defy the blood of Jesus Christ. And what you need to do to come tonight, because I believe with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, 2024 is going to put the church out of here. You may think I'm trying to make a prediction, but I'm not making no prediction. I'm making according to what's going over in Israel. I'm going by the five red heifers. I'm going by the moon coming in between the earth and the sun. I'm going by the five heifers. I'm going by the restoration of the temple. I'm going by the dome of the rock. I'm going by all what the Jews are getting ready to do. I'm going by NATO. And the Antichrist. I'm going by the 10 toes and the 10 horns and the 10 kings and the 10 crowns. I'm going by everything that's setting in place right now. It only would take a moment of a twinkling of an eye for this to be manifested. And guess what? It's coming up. And everybody's worried about the election. They're worried about is Trump going to get it? Is Biden going to get it? Who is going to get this thing? Who is going to straighten out America? Well, it's going to take more than Trump. It's going to take more than Biden. It's going to take more than all the presidents that ever was in the United States. 45 presidents, you can put them together right today in the conference room, and they still wouldn't be able to get America or the world out of this situation that it is. So what is it going to take? It's going to take nothing but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to straighten out this old torn, sinful world. Because it's ridiculous. It's awfully ridiculous how people are trying to live without Jesus Christ. You can't live without Jesus Christ. You can't have peace without it. You can't have love without it. You can't have nothing without it. Why? Because he's the author and finisher of my faith. And besides him, there was no other. That besides him, there's no one else. Died like he died. Suffered like he suffered. Put down in the grave and left for there for eternity. But on the third day morning, he bust that grave out like a rocket. A rocket couldn't come out that fast. And when he came out, he said, now I got all power. All power. In heaven and earth in my hand. And you won't tell me, you don't think God can save a little old person like you? You're only 6 foot one, 6 foot two, weighing, you know, a couple pounds, or your lump of clay. You got a soul that's going to never die. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you're going to be eternally dead. Eternally dead, meaning that you're going to be separated from God forever. And to be separated from God forever is to what? Be in hell, burning, 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 burning. And I don't want you to go to hell, please. This is Brother Bazaar coming to you from Bristol, Tennessee. I'm trying to tell you, please, think about the Holy Week. Think about the death of Jesus Christ this whole week. Because I think about it all the time. I'm just not going to pick out this week. But think about next week. Will be the week where 2,000 years ago he come up from the grave on Sunday morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And the world is groaning now. It's groaning for deliverance. It's yearning for divine deliverance. The devil's not going to deliver you. No preacher, no bishop, nobody is going to be able to deliver you but the blood of Jesus Christ. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your mind. Get it in your soul. You can't go to heaven. You can't live with Jesus Christ in sin in heaven. No sin in heaven. No, no, no. Sin is going to be obliterated. It's going to be annihilated. The only time that you may have is now. Don't wait. So what if you haven't been to church? Going to church ain't going to save you. Being good ain't going to save you. Being pretty and dressing up ain't going to save you. Your mama can't save you. Your daddy can't save you. Your uncles and your aunts can't save you. The doctor can't save you. The lawyer can't save you. Nobody can save you but Jesus. Now, why don't you want him? You need him. You got to have him in order to make it into glory. Because it's going to be awesome to walk the streets of gold. It's going to be awesome to see Jesus Christ. It's going to be awesome to be able to live with Jesus Christ forever. And God said, I've got something for you. The eyes have never seen, the ears have never heard, nor entered into man's heart. The thing that God has prepared for him that love him and love his appearing. And you talk about somebody that loved the appearing of Jesus Christ, it's me. In the 19th chapter, the 11th verse, we open up that chapter and we look at it. We see heaven open. When we see heaven open, we see a white horse. In the 6th chapter, we see another white horse. But that white horse in the 6th chapter of Revelation is the Antichrist. But the white horse in the 19th chapter, the 11th verse, is Jesus Christ coming back with what? The church. So in order for us to come back with Christ, we got to be raptured 7 years ahead of time. And now, at the end of the tribulation, we come back with him. And all the saints of God will be riding on white horses coming from heaven with Jesus Christ, getting ready to judge the nations, getting ready to go into the millennium reign, getting ready to reestablish. And God is going to put every individual in his place during the millennium reign. And God's going to give those that came through the tribulation that were still in their natural body that are saved. He's going to let them enter the tribulation. He's going to let them enter into the millennium reign. And there, they are going to repopulate the earth for 1,000 years. In that 1,000 years, Christ will rule and reign. And there we will be with him for 1,000 years until the end of the 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, we will what? Go to the great white throne. I'm getting ready to close. The great white throne will be the second resurrection. And this great white throne will be the judgment of all the wicked, all the lost, all the unsaved prostitutes, all the unsaved pimps, all the unsaved, the unsaved, the unsaved, the unsaved, the one that rejected Christ, every unsaved person that reject the blood of Jesus Christ will stand before the great white throne, and there we, the unbeliever, will be judged. And there's going to be, let me put this on. There's going to be four more wars before the end of time. The end of time is at the millennium reign. That's going to be the end of time, where time will be obliterated. In other words, it will be separated from eternity. God is going to judge the wicked. And all those that's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, coming to a close, will be cast into the lake of fire, which burns brimstone. All the unsaved movie stars, all the unsaved football players, all the unsaved tennis players, all the baseball players that are not saved, all the pimp daddies, all the great celebrity singers, all the great inventors that's not saved will be at the great white throne. You don't want to be there. How can you escape it? Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. This is all. I'm calling on you to give your life to Christ. I'm calling on you to repent of your sins. I'm calling on you to accept Jesus Christ now. Don't go to bed tonight, this evening. You know you ain't saved. You know you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. I don't know who you are, but I plead with you. I beg you. Repent of your sins. You need Christ. Yes, I want you to go to church. But church ain't going to save you. It's what Christ done, and only Christ. God himself became flesh, dwelt among us. And we seen, we heard, and we know what he done 2,000 years ago. Apostle Paul said, confess, believe with your heart that God Almighty, oh yes, that God Almighty raised himself, Jesus Christ, from the dead. He didn't need no help. He didn't call for no help. He came from hell and preached to those in prison and went back on the top side of the earth and proved himself who he was just for you. Accept him now. Wherever you are, you can throw up your hands. And if you want to bow your heads, that's good. Don't be ashamed and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. Please. I'm sorry. I want a new life. I want a new way of living. I want to feel your power. Will you please come into my life right now in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. And if you have confessed with your mouth and believe with your heart right now and ask Christ to come into your life right now, you can be saved. And if you mean that, you can be saved. Don't look for some thunderstorm or somebody, you know, in your life and make you run and do all odd things. Just accept him as he is. And if you really accept him, there'll be a change in your life in process of time. This is Elder Bazaar. Love you all out there. Love you. Continue to pray for me that I continue on to do this. I hope you've been inspired. Tell your friends. We ain't got too much longer to be here, whether you're a sinner or whether you're a saint. I love you all. God bless. If I don't see you here, amen, I hope to see you in the rapture. And you can meet me there and say, I heard you. I heard you. And I thank God for each and every one of you. God bless you. See you in the rapture, if the Lord will. God bless. See you next time.